Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on this, the 25th of August, Thursday afternoon. Very nice day in Tucson. The weather, not too bad. Kind of the humidity level starting to go down a bit, and that is very good. Happy birthday to the National Park Service. Today is the 100th. Anniversary, the centennial of our fine national park system. We have a full show as usual today. We're going to get things rolling with Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, Mr. Flowers of the well-known CPA firm of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, conveniently located on Broadway. Michael C. Flowers, how are you?
Great, Bill. Great to see you.
We have some very important information to give our listeners today, especially those who are in my particular generation, the baby boom generation. One of the big questions, Michael, is when do you take Social Security? You're first eligible to take it at what, 62?
Age 62, and it's the easiest question in the world if you can tell me when you're going to die. If you don't know when you're going to die, then it's a very complicated concept. And let me give you some pointers, especially for your listeners. We generally recommend that you take Social Security at age 62. And I'll give you a brief example. So if your Social Security is going to be $1,000 a month when you're 62, which is before your full retirement age, if at your retirement age it goes to $1,300, let's say, everybody's saying, well, geez, I'll get $300 more for the rest of my life. But what they're passing up is an opportunity to have $48,000 in their pocket, because you would get $12,000 a year for 4 years. And if you divide that $48,000 by the extra $300, it would take another 160 months or a little over 13 years to get back the money you lost from 62 to 66. So a break-even analysis generally is in your early 80s as far as when you'll be better off taking Social Security at an older age versus at age 62.
So you're really looking at a common sense bottom line approach, because obviously, Michael C., none of us know, you know, our end date. We don't know when.
Right. You can have some predictors. I mean, I have clients that have medical issues.
Right.
Obviously, it's real simple to say 62. I have other clients that their parents have lived into their late 80s and early 90s, so you're hopeful you're going to live longer than what your personal life expectancy may be. But the other thing that complicates it, though, between age 62 and 66, the IRS limits the amount of earned income you can make during that period of time, which is only $15,720. So you have to be generally retired or take a part-time job while you're collecting Social Security. That is in effect between the ages of 62 and 66. Once you turn 66, you then can make $1 million in income and still take Social Security.
790-2040, if any of our listeners have questions about this. I know it is a rather controversial area. There are some that say to wait, but Michael C. Flowers is of the belief that the money in the pocket is best. If you can get it at 62, why not take it? So especially if you're thinking of a part-time job, that can be nice change.
Right, because, you know, $12,000 is, instead of working, if you're making 40 grand, then your Social Security is going to be 2 grand a month, 24 grand. So you're essentially working for $16,000 a year instead of $40,000 a year. So we've had people where we've encouraged them, you know, quit your job and take your Social Security and go part-time and do what you like and do some other things with your life.
Well, here's a question for you. So if you take the Social Security at 62, but you want to continue to work, maybe even the part-time work, that part-time work that you're doing still will be earning Social Security benefits. Is that correct?
If you're below the 15 grand, no, because then you've decided that you want your Social Security. And if you said, geez, I'm going to take it at 62, but I'm going to make 50 grand next year, what the Social Security Administration makes you do is for every dollar you make more, every $2 you make more than the $15,000, just around the number, you have to give a dollar back of your Social Security benefits. So my example, if it was $1,000 a month, if you made about $40,000 in a given year, you would be $24,000 over the $15,000 limit. You would have to give back all your Social Security benefits, so there's no sense claiming it.
So break down what those that say, wait, what are the benefits that the argument that those use who say to wait? What is their main argument?
Let me give you one more argument in favor of going early.
Okay.
We're going pretty far out there with the Social Security system that not many people trust, as you know. And they've already changed the taxability of Social Security. They've already changed the retirement age. They're still fiddling with it. So I'm of the opinion, and my wife Renee is, can't say this on the air how old she's old, but she went on Social Security, and it was at my encouragement,
urging.
Just telling her that was a better economic decision for her. So you have a Social Security system that we have to worry about. But what other people say, well, geez, if I live to be 90 years old, then I'll have an extra 7 years. Well, I'll have $300 more a month. What I find with my clients, they tend to focus on their years in the 70s and 80s. And generally, the quality of life starts to deteriorate in some cases as you get older and older, especially as you approach 90. So, you know, if you're in a nursing home, does it matter that you're getting another $300 a month? So
right.
I try to protect people in their early part of retirement until their mid to late retirement. And if we're wrong, then it did cost them something. But again, the only answer that's exact that anybody can tell you is if you gave them the exact date of death, it's an easy calculation as to which would be better, 62 or 62. That's what everybody's trying to guess at in terms of longevity. But then there's also people at age 62 that need to work and they can't quit their job and say, geez, I'm going to collect Social Security.
When do you have to make a decision around, do you have any kind of grace period at 62 or do you have to
you
make
You generally have to do it before you're age 62. If you're 62 in 3 months and you decide to do it, then your benefit will still be what it would have been at 62, but you've lost those 3 months of eligibility.
So if you're working full-time and you still take the Social Security at 62, then you've got some tax issues that you're going to have to worry about.
It may not be a good decision. Bill, as a courtesy to you and your guests, I'm happy to answer anybody's question on a no-charge basis on their individual situation, at least generally as to whether it's going to be taxable, whether it makes sense, and are they making too much income. We haven't even talked about, you know, now that I am on Social Security, most of our clients were of the opinion, you know, that's my money, I'm getting it back, why would I have to pay tax on it? But in some cases, you can pay tax on up to 85% of your Social Security benefits.
Hmm.
And that's if you're a married couple making more than $44,000 or somebody single making more than $34,000. Very complicated from the Social Security Administration. That's modified adjusted gross income.
Well, Michael C. Flowers, we appreciate your support on this program, and you are offering a free consultation to any of the Buckmaster Show listeners because this can get kind of complicated. You would be happy to talk to anybody about this.
More than happy, Bill. And again, as Kurt just mentioned, the show and our phone number is 327-8706. Just ask me, Mike Flowers. I'd be happy to get back to you or talk to you when you call in, and we can at least start to talk about what may be appropriate. Because this is the most critical decision as you hit your retirement year ages, because $12,000 a year for 30 or 40 years is, you know, almost $500,000.
And it's not like the firm started yesterday.
No, we and I'm coming up on my age 62, so I've critically analyzed this, so you're getting the benefit of very intimate wisdom coming up.
Okay, Michael C. Flowers, again, thank you for your support. You've been with us since day one with our project here, now in our sixth year.
And Bill, I know you're not a boastful person, but I really need to acknowledge your recent election into your second Hall of Fame, and I want to congratulate you on that. And that's a wonderful accomplishment, and what a treasure we have in Tucson, having somebody of your integrity and capabilities on the air. And you've been a good mentor to me and a great friend for a long time, and I truly honor you.
Thank you very much. It's been a great ride, and we're hoping it continues for a while. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk Wildcat football right after this.
This is our house. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. We're at this party where the homeowners recently replaced their old inefficient windows and doors with brand new energy efficient Pella products by Enhance Openings. And I tell you, these homeowners, they know what they're doing. They took advantage of our free Pella installation sale. Hey, look who's here. Wow, you're looking great.
John Lewis.
I never saw you so clearly.
Joseph Blair.
I saw you through the new patio door across the way. You look fabulous. And you're asking about the free installation sale? Call 520-886-1602, 520-886-1602 for the free Pella installations by Enhance Openings. My fellow Centurion is here. You're
Bill Hussey.
Bill, don't let the savings pass you by. Call today for our free installation sale, 520-886-1602. Join the Pella party. You got to call 886-1602, enhanceopenings.com. Well, you like the Pella products. Wait until you see the garage.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition on this August 25th football season. Can't believe it happens. The college football kickoff happening of all places down in Sydney, Australia tomorrow. And Cal and Hawaii going at it. I think they had to have kind of a special exemption to start the season a week early. We'll find out about that from Anthony Gimeno, sports journalist, who for more than two decades has covered UA athletics, including covering football for The Star and TheCitizen.com, and most recently providing sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He is the senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals. He's also the co-author of a book on Arizona basketball. It's titled 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Anthony Gimeno is the Buckmaster contributor on Wildcat Sports. He's on the live line right now. Anthony, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Is that true that they had to have a special exemption, Cal and Hawaii, to start the season a week early?
I just always assumed it was because they needed time to get back and recover. it's not as if that's a pretty long travel to then turn around and play a week later. So they'll start tomorrow night, have a bye week essentially, and then play again in 2 weeks. So it gives them a little time to recover.
And for Arizona, this game is interesting because the Rainbow Warriors from Hawaii are coming to Tucson.
Yeah, they'll be here in a few weeks, part of Arizona's non-conference schedule. Hawaii is not expected to be a particularly great team this year. They have been in the past. But you can pretty much assume that Hawaii is going to be the generally physical team that's going to test you in that way. But and there's a lot of ties. Arizona likes to recruit historically in Hawaii, recruits a lot of Polynesian players. Of course, Dick Tomey coached at Hawaii before he came here. And now Dick Tomey's back living in Tucson, so I'm sure we'll all be tracking down Dick Tomey the week when Arizona plays Hawaii.
So we've got Wildcat football basically next week's preparation is game week preparation. This is kind of an unusual start to a season because it's on a neutral field up in Phoenix against BYU. Is BYU supposed to be pretty good this year?
BYU is pretty good. BYU is, I think, a lot like Arizona. They've got, they're different in a sense. BYU has a new head coach, two new coordinators. So there's certainly a lot of mystery there in terms of what BYU is going to look like. Arizona, correspondingly, has its own mystery because with this all new defensive coaching staff, we can't really be sure what they're going to look like on defense other than everybody's saying, hey, they're going to be a lot more aggressive. They're going to take a lot more chances. They certainly need to turn that aggressiveness into creating turnovers, which is something they were really bad at last year. So BYU is a bit of a mystery, as always. It's an older team. Their quarterback is a really interesting story. It's a kid named Taysom Hill, who, when he's healthy, is one of the top pass-run quarterbacks in the country. His problem is he hasn't been able to stay healthy very much. He was hurt the first game of last year and then missed the rest of the year with a foot injury, but now he's back. And this is his sixth year of eligibility. He just turned 26 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's one of those guys at BYU. He's taken a Mormon mission. He's redshirted. He's got an extra year because of all the injuries. So he is a grown man playing quarterback for BYU, and he's really, really good. He beat out the guy who replaced him last year, who as a freshman was also really, really good. So BYU definitely has some talent. They have some NFL prospects on defense. If anybody's thinking Arizona is going to go up there and have an easy time, they're definitely not. And it's basically a betting toss-up right now, which is about what I would call it. I would call it a coin flip right now. And with a lot of X factors that we'll just have to wait and see how they all play out.
Is this the kid at BYU that went back? I think they played at Michigan a few years ago, and I think they won. Do you recall that?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But BYU, they're now an independent in football. They and they play a very, very difficult schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So they, which they have to as an independent, they're one of about three or four independents in college football. So BYU, with their tough schedule, they would look at a team like Arizona and say, man, we really have to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because later they're going to play UCLA, they play at Michigan State, they play Mississippi State, they play at Boise State, which is a really tough game. So they look at Arizona saying, yeah, we need this one.
And Arizona's a mystery, aren't they, this year? Well, I mean, we know probably more, certainly more about the offense. We don't really know what's going to happen with the defense. This is kind of one of those years that can go every which way but sideways. It's crazy.
I suppose we just the big thing there is the defense. We really don't know how it's going to look and how effective it's going to be. It's not so much scheme a lot, it's personnel. And right now you look at their defensive personnel and you have a hard time identifying guys who are going to be NFL talent. You know, maybe there's a couple guys who will emerge, but there's not a lot of surefire all-conference guys on that side of the ball. Offense should be fine. That's what Rich Rodriguez does. And you know, we've talked in the past a lot about the quarterbacks, Anu Solomon, Brandon Dawkins. It's funny, I haven't worried one bit about the quarterbacks this fall camp. whoever Rich ends up picking, and I think it'll be Anu, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon plays and gets a shot as well. It's a situation where they seem very, very comfortable with either one, which is good because at some point during the year, maybe it's for a game, maybe it's for two games, maybe longer, you're going to need your backup quarterback. And it's turned into, I think, a really good situation. The running back situation is deep. They're pretty good at wide receiver. You know, they're still searching for some depth on the offensive line, but it should be at least a pretty solid unit. So Arizona's going to, as they have in the last 4 years under Rich Rodriguez, they're going to score some points.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Pac-10, or Pac-10, Pac-12, looks really strong this year. I think Washington's really the program up at Seattle, certainly bouncing back. You've got four or five teams that really are top 20 teams, correct?
It's probably deep again. I think you would call it that. Stanford is most people's pick to win the league, but it's pretty tight. Stanford, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, Washington State, Utah. Those are probably all teams you would mention as top 25 possibilities. Maybe not right now in the preseason polls, but they're pretty close. They could be sometime in September or as the season goes on. And then once you mention those several teams, then you get into, okay, Arizona State, which just a year after being kind of the darlings of the early polls,
Both
of these teams were ranked early last year. And now we look at it after they've had 500-ish seasons that they have to regain some momentum. And somebody asked me the other day, you know, who really needs a bigger season, Arizona or Arizona State? And I think it's Arizona State because I think with Arizona, I think there's a little more patience here. And with the reset of the defense, I think people are going to be willing to give Rich some time to see how that works out. But I'm not sure the same case exists at Arizona State.
Anu has one more year after this?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, he had a great first year, so the guy's got talent. There's no question about it.
Yeah, he's, and the coaches seem to like what he did last year for the most part, but he just wasn't healthy. He suffered two concussions. He basically missed, you know, almost three full games because of those. And now Brandon Dawkins is a guy who's a little more athletic. He is more apt to make plays with his feet than Anu. And he's really probably closed the gap pretty significantly in terms of knowledge of the playbook, knowing where to throw the ball, all those kind of things. So the advantages Anu has had have been diminished by just Brandon Dawkins' time in the system and experience kind of catching up to him a little bit. So that's why I say I think Arizona, I don't think they would worry in either scenario in terms of who's playing quarterback.
All right. Anthony Jimena, we'll see how it all plays out. Thank you very much. And we'll look for your work at TucsonNews.com. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Anthony Jimena covers all sorts of activities for us on the Buckmaster Show. And this season, of course, it's time for football. But we'll be back, I'm sure, with him again in basketball season. All right, we've got Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, as our next guest on Buckmaster on a Thursday.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got five kids and four of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job. They're economical and environmentally friendly.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Mike Varney talks with us. Mr. Varney's the head of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star and Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road. They're just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their fine website. And I want to mention these great workshops. They are free. If you're into gardening, check it out. Saturday morning at 10 and Sunday morning at 10. And just drop in and learn some things about gardening. They've got it all over there on the 13 acres, 33 greenhouses, full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Let's go to the live line now. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. Councilman, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Bill. How are you?
Very good, thank you for asking. How is school going for you?
Wonderful.
Things off to a good start?
Yep, we're finishing up our first unit, the American Revolution, which is, I got to admit, so fun to teach, and we've had a really good response this year.
You know, the last time we talked, I brought this up about I'd been hearing all this about there's going to be, after Caterpillar, we were going to get another job announcement after Labor Day. I don't want to put you on the spot by saying yes or no, but are you still optimistic that something's going to be coming down the line here?
I'm fairly optimistic. I know we're waiting on a couple things, and you just don't want to jinx it, and you don't want to you're trying to put out the welcome mat for something, and they tell you, you know, please don't announce anything until we know the deal's done for sure. And that's true with everything. I mean, rumors and speculation are kind of what get us into trouble a lot. And so I don't want to put any rumors or speculation out. I'm fairly confident that we'll have one in the fall. I don't even know if it's going to be in, you know, the week after Labor Day. I'd say it's probably going to be a couple weeks after that, maybe even sometime in October. So I don't know yet. Again, some of this stuff I'm in the dark on. So we'll have to see kind of what unfolds.
Well, you got to admit, Paul Cunningham, Tucson's been getting some great publicity. That New York Times piece about being a food capital of our region and this United Nations designation about one of the top food areas of North America. I mean, this is good stuff.
It is. It's really exciting. And I want to say this. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when I started coming on the show, one of the things we've talked about is all the bad lists we were on. We were on the bottom 10 for this and the bottom 10 for that. And at that time, I said, let's not make too much of it. There's a lot of different things that go into it, a lot of different factors. It's nice to be on great, good lists, too. But in all fairness, let's not make too much of it. It's exciting. I'm glad. And as a politician, I should be running around reposting everything about how awesome we are. And I try to be positive about Tucson all the time. I'm always positive about Tucson. I think it's the greatest city in the world. I think I hashtag most of my tweets, best city ever. But the bottom line is that if we want to keep that momentum, we have a job to do. And we've got to keep focused, and we can't rest on our laurels. And the improvement of Tucson, the renaissance of Tucson, never stops and never sleeps. It's something that I work on a daily basis.
How about this claim of $1.2 billion needed to fix neglected core services? What's the latest on that?
Again, let's not... Yes and no. I mean, there's a capital needs wish list is exactly what that is. Capital needs wish list. So, all right, how much equipment could we actually use? I mean, it's like saying, all right, I have a vacuum cleaner at my house, and it's 10 years old, and sometimes I have to unplug it and plug it back in to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
It works, but, you know, yeah, I could use a new vacuum cleaner. I have a faucet that now doesn't leak, but sometimes it sticks, especially in the summer months. Anybody who lives in Tucson knows this. I have a screen door that gets stuck during monsoon in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've got one like that.
a lot of people do. But the point is that, so you write that down and say, well, that needs to be replaced. Okay. Well, if you go down to every single thing that is serviceable, but we could replace, but technically, you know, it's not working perfectly, then yeah, you have $1.2 billion in capital needs. But that's not, let's not go overboard, all right? Let's talk about, you know, then you get into secondary. Okay, what's serviceable that is actually working marginally well? Okay, what's serviceable and it needs to be replaced and we know it, but we can get along with it for the next 2 or 3 years. Okay, what's actually unserviceable? When you get to that point, you probably have a much different number and a much different list. I will say this. The public safety vehicle fleet, definitely there's aspects of both police and fire that there's just some replacement vehicles needed. There's some that the vehicles are still serviceable, and we don't need to run off and spend, you know, $675,000 or $1 million on a new ladder company truck on certain areas. You know, we could, you know, the vehicle we have is 14 years old, and it's serviceable, but it's not the most advanced. And so, you know, the chief and the manager mull those questions. So we always have capital needs. If you really want to look at capital needs, we're always going to have neighborhood streets as capital needs. There's an $120 million list of things in parks, and that's everything from a sprinkler system that, you know, there's a discussion. Every single one of our sprinkler systems, or virtually every single one of our sprinkler systems in major parks, are 20 and 30 years old. Well, after 20 or 30 monsoon seasons, it isn't just the irrigation system, it's the actual ground. It becomes unlevel, it doesn't drain properly, and you'd actually need to, I mean, to get the grass to the level that we'd want for playing surfaces for like softball, baseball, youth football, youth soccer, that type of stuff, as well as just open green space, we probably have to go in, dig it up, re-level the dirt so it redrains properly, and put sprinklers in, essentially just completely re-landscaping the park. Well, that's a pretty significant investment when you think about it, over a couple brown patches of grass. And so those are the issues that you run into. And, you know, anybody who has a yard in Tucson knows that after about 9 or 10 seasons, you're going to have certain areas where sheet flow pools and whatever, and you have to kind of re-level your yard. I mean, that's a fact of life in Tucson. That's where we live. That's who we are, and it's great. And we had a great monsoon, we had great rain and all that, but yes, there's certain things that happen to your beautifully landscaped garden when you're not using native plants and all that other stuff. So again, when you talk about our capital needs, there's certain levels within them, but yes, if we want to get if we want to get the service delivery that I think Tucsonans deserve, there probably needs to be some type of capital influx over in the next few years to get it there. If we're going to try to keep on keeping on, then, you know, you get what you pay for, and that's kind of the deal.
Voter confidence, though, would be a huge issue if you put forth raising money through property and sales taxes, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go to the voters and say, oh, hey, this is what we're going to do, without laying it out exactly what you're going to do, without laying out why, and without saying, this is what this is going to go do. I mean, look, no one ever wants to raise taxes. I mean, it's just not... Raising taxes is the last thing that anybody wants to vote for. As a guy who wants there to be as equal playing field as there can, sales tax is by far the most aggressive. I mean, so there's all these different things. But unfortunately, sometimes it might be the fairest approach if you look at kind of the universal tax rate. I'm talking not just sales tax, but property tax, fees for service, food tax, landlord tax. There's all these different types of taxes that all these different cities around the state have. Our tax burden's right in the middle, sometimes a lot of times lower, and our sales tax burden is one of the lowest, is on the lower third. So, you know, when you're talking about those things, we've got to decide what kind of Tucson we want.
All right, let's take a break right here. Coming up on 1246, Councilman Cunningham sticks around for another segment. If you would like to ask him any questions, 790-2040, and we'll get you on the air. Let's take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon.
This is our house. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Back, it's the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a beautiful area, 3 hours east of Tucson, a place called Pinos Altos, neat little mining town just north of Silver City, downtown Silver City. The elevation 7,000 feet, so you're going to get some very, you'll actually get some rather cool nights and lovely days this time of year. You can find out about the many things to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. That's southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of the things to do and places to stay. And speaking of New Mexico, the mayor in Albuquerque, Richard Berry, has started a very innovative program. It's called There's a Better Way. It's an anti-panhandling program with the potential to help some people out of homelessness. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman here in Tucson, on the live line with us. Did you read Tim Steller's column about that?
Yeah, it's funny you just brought that up, because we actually had a meeting about it yesterday.
Okay, tell me what you know about the program and would it work here?
The answer is I don't know enough about the program yet. Well, I know enough about the program to know that they get $9, they get a lunch, they've placed 100 people into ongoing services, they've found homes for, I think, 84 people and permanent jobs for another 63 or something. Mm-hmm. I know that they take 6 or 7 people a day. What I don't know is how they 1099 their people. I don't know whether or not they limit the number of appearances you can make. I don't know what the code of conduct is of the program. But believe me, those are the questions that I have, because those are the details that are actually really important. There are two agencies right now that I'd like to partner with, one of them obviously being Primavera. We think that they already run some day labor programs, and that's basically what part of this is. But it's also a social movement program. So we have to take a look at, you know, all the angles to do it. I think it's definitely a winner. Philosophically, I do believe in it. And I'd like to see kind of how we can do a Tucson version. Yesterday, I spoke with an agency that has some interest in partnering with us. And so that group, which is Tucson Clean and Beautiful, Primavera and the city could probably come up with something. And I'd really like to bring the chamber in on this. And so we're going to have some type of meeting between those four entities at some point that my office is going to try to put together. But again, I haven't had a long enough discussion with the mayor about it, and we're going to need the mayor's help to get it done, and I think we will. But it's funny that you brought that up, because my office has actually been working on that for the last couple weeks in the background, trying to see what is possible. And that's what you got to keep doing every day, is just ask what is possible, instead of what you know, instead of just being the city of no, we're going to continue to be the city of yes.
Well, maybe I'll bring this up. In fact, I will try to bring it up with Mike Varney of the Chamber tomorrow here on the show.
I'd love it. I haven't called him yet. I mean, I'd hate him to get ambushed, but I'm planning on talking to Mike or Robert in the next couple of days about this, and I think this is a winner. We're working right now with the Chamber on some other stuff, including some stuff with regard with the airport that we're looking to announce pretty soon as well. So hopefully, I got to admit, a city can do a lot better when everybody's working together.
So basically, what I understand from Tim Steller's column on August 17th, it's a city employee of Albuquerque that drives around four times a week, picks up people who are panhandling but willing to spend time working. The van can hold up to 10 people, and each one gets lunch as well as a ride back to the hospitality center, which is a homeless shelter where some of the services are available. So each person is paid $9 per hour, but is limited to making $600 per year through the program. So it does. I do wonder about what are the tax situations with something.
Well,
like
that's one of the things I just brought up.
Yeah.
So the 1099.
Yeah.
You can only make $600 in the program, because that way the city doesn't have to 1099 the person.
Okay.
And that what they keep is cash, and that's legit. I mean, that's a good. It's a good point. And so you can only make $600. And if you were going to run, if I was going to run this program, that was like the first thing I looked up was, well, what's the max you can pay someone without 1099-ing them? And so that answers that question. Four times a week, exactly. And then it's a matter of, okay, where is the work to do and how do you coordinate that? And that would be the Tucson Clean and Beautiful piece. So the pieces are in play, in place. We can probably look at, one is that there's a funding piece, and then two, you know, if we decide to fund this and we do believe we're going to save money in that department, which department's going to run it? Is it going to be through transportation? If we're going to do road shoulders, is it going to be through parks? Or are we going to try to raise the money privately? These are all different things. And then, obviously, the coordinator person, which is going to be, you know, between $35,000 and $40,000 plus ERE, so probably about $50,000 on the coordinator. So, like I said, those are all the things, and we will evaluate it and see what we can duplicate and see how we can make the program run in Tucson.
And Primavera Foundation does have a program. They call it Primavera Works. And I think that is mostly involved with landscaping jobs right now, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's different versions of it around the country, but I've always thought about the 1099 ramification. And for those listeners who aren't familiar with small business, a 1099 employee is someone that you don't use a W-2 for. They're a contract employee, and if you pay them more than $600, you have to issue a 1099 to them and on your business taxes. You have to report that you paid them for work. And so the $600 threshold is a big piece of this 1099.
All right. You did mention that you're working with the Chamber on some airport things. And, of course, one of the things we'll bring up with Mike Varney, he did work very hard to bring – he was kind of spearheading that whole New York City nonstop JFK Tucson service, which begins next month. October.
Well, so that's the deal. We've got another one missing. I think we can try to go get Washington D.C. I think we're a natural fit. We have enough D.C. traffic between Fort Echuca and DM and the Border Patrol. I mean, we just have so many different federal agencies operating right here in Tucson that there's enough traffic to D.C. Everybody knows it. The numbers are there. So we're going to try to get that one going. And then the triumvirate is, okay, so what do we get where people actually use our airport that aren't actually coming just to Tucson? and that's going to be either Cabo or Hermosillo. We probably need flights to Cabo or Hermosillo. Geographically, we're an advantage there, and that's going to be the other piece. And if we can get all four of those flights running, I'm talking D.C., New York,
Cabo,
and Hermosillo at the same time, right. I think that will actually kind of push the that'll push the boulder down the cliff, if you will.
Okay.
And we'll probably see some other piggyback on there. Now, I'm not sure, but that's my guess. But then again, you know, what the heck do I know? I'm not an air traffic expert, but you know, that's what I'm hoping for.
Paul Cunningham, I'll let you get back to the classroom, and we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Paul Cunningham with us now, 1 minute before 1 o'clock, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen together with that. And then 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone. That gets underway at 6 tomorrow morning, and I'll be back with you with our Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show. We'll talk about air service with Mike Varney of the Chamber and some other things as well. Hope you'll join us. Until then, Ray and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.